Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Welcome back to Okla Said. It's the official Okla Ed podcast. I'm Aaron B., and we've got Scotty H. on the other side here.
Greetings and salutations. Aaron, this is week two of our sort of unique episode releasing.
Yes. And I'm interested to see what the analytics say. Had confirmation with Anne yesterday that she would prefer 20 minutes each, and it'd be easier for her to not get backed up. If it's an hour long, she's like, oh, I'll put it off till I have time, and then there may be three episodes to listen to all at the same time when she does get it. With 20 minutes, she said she could easily get it on a drive and you know, do it. So,
you know, you could take an hour-long episode and play it at 2 speed and get it in 30 minutes.
Very true. Very true. At the risk of sounding like a chipmunk already, I'm going to say don't do that.
Okay.
No, well, I'm just kidding.
But we are trying out a different format with the interviews coming out separately that gives Aaron longer to... It gives you longer to talk with our moderators.
And it doesn't... sometimes we got some stuff to say.
Yeah.
Analyzing the tweets and rushing through it so that we could keep it at that hour was already being, you know, a little bit challenging. So now that we're not feeling rushed on either side, I am pleased, and let's get going. You want to?
Yeah, let's do it. Question. Question.
Yeah.
We
visionary
had
leadership.
Lots of folks tweeting for this one.
Yes. Why don't you list them out there?
So we had, it was moderated by the OU Education EACS cohort. And that would include Ann Beck, Tyler Bridges, Seth Meyer, Melinda Parks, and Lindsay McDonald.
Okay. So I was tweeting with them in the chat. And like Tyler was like, hello, there's chat going on here. And we're like, yeah. These guys are pretty fun, these guys and gals, and it seems like a fun little fraternity or, you know, something. It would be fun to be a part of that group.
Yeah, if I'm going to go through something like what they're going through and they're all working on their PhD, I would want to choose that group because they're good folks.
Yeah, so and talk about having a PLN already wrapped up in your program.
Yeah, no kidding. Boom.
Anyway, question one, what is your personal why?
So I don't know if my why, help teachers not do the same thing we've always done, because that's the way we've always done it.
My why is teach the way I was not taught.
Mm-hmm.
So, or I don't kill the passion for education. I don't know.
Right.
Something along that line. I really liked what, Chong Sing Lor put, he is at, Chong2087 on the Twitters. I liked it because it was hard. That was a very tough question. And he said, my why, teaching is not a job. It may be a profession, but to me, it's a lifestyle. To define it is to limit it. I want to be a part of the solution and not add to the problem. That's my why.
Dude, that's a good one.
The to define it part is to limit it. Because like we've said with rubrics even, you know, once you put that there, maybe there was more that could have happened, or, you know, maybe with defining it, we keep ourselves small.
Right.
So I love that tweet.
Yeah, that was a good one. I went with Lauren Pena. She is at Lauren_Pena16. She said, my why is to make sure every kid knows how to express an opinion and still be kind to someone who expresses the opposite. We could use more of that in the world.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, your mom is ugly and dresses you funny. Oh,
no, she's not.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Okay, question two. There are leaders and there are those who lead. What is the difference?
Man, I can't remember what I put, but I'm sure it was some sort of canned answer I'd heard before. I mean, I don't think a leader has to be a principal. I don't think a leader has to be a superintendent. I think there are plenty of teachers that are leaders. I mm-hmm. think there are plenty of students that are leaders. Mm-hmm. It's somebody who's out doing good, and people want to be a part of what they're doing.
Yeah, that's.
I guess they could be doing bad, and people want to be right. a part of it, but. But somebody that has a vision, and people want to gravitate towards that vision.
Mm-hmm. On this question, I sort of kind of think about presidents, you know.
Okay.
Presidents, to some people, presidents just lead because they're the president of the United States. But you can take that same president into another person that is a leader to them. You know what I'm saying? Like, it has just a different connotation, I guess. Does it make sense?
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. I think Rob Miller's tweet, which I chose, kind of goes along with it. He is at Edge Blogger. He said he finds that good leaders are ones that know when to lead, know when to follow, know when to get the hell out of the way. You have to know the craft, but adaptability is critical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's an amazing tweet right there.
Yeah, that's a good one, because you kind of have to be able to do all those things to all your teachers. Because some of them need they just need different things from administrators. Like, I don't need the same thing from an administrator that you would need. Like, we would need different things. And I think that's good. Sometimes you just got to get out of the way and let your teachers be amazing. And sometimes teachers need to catch a coattail of an administrator who's really good and see how that goes too. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I went with Frank Solomon. He is at @FrankSolomon_4. He said, "We all can and should lead by example. Titles and positions are just that."
And just because you have a title does not mean you are a great that title.
Right, right. Just because I'm a lead principal doesn't make me the most amazing lead principal ever.
Right.
In fact, I could be a pretty poor lead principal. But I could have teachers who are amazing leaders.
Just because you passed a test does not make you a great leader.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. You're wrong. And where's that tweet from above?
You have to talk nice about our disagreement.
I know. Question 3. What are the most important characteristics of a visionary leader? And there were so many tweets here that ran along the same theme, and I really liked what people had to say. I picked a teacher because I thought it was important to highlight what a teacher might think was a great component in a leader. So Kim Blodgett, who is at Kimber Blodgett, says, "A visionary leader has their eye on the future, isn't set in their ways, has progress and change always on their mind, and isn't afraid of change. Realized schools can't be run the same way every year."
Yeah, that's a good one. I know when I think back to characteristics of leaders that I have, they were always ones who at least would consider what I had to say.
Yeah.
Even if they did something that I would disagree with, I at least felt like they listened to my point of view on XYZ first.
Yeah.
And not that I need to do that on every decision, but sometimes, you know, there's something that's going on that you're passionate about. And so include me in that conversation, please. I went with Kenneth Ward here. Hey, did you know that Kenneth Ward is the principal of the year here in Oklahoma?
Yeah, he is.
So
pretty awesome.
Pretty cool stuff. Anyway, he said the ability to have a very wide perspective, almost seeing around corners, and respects differences as strength, and always willing to see the impossible as a challenge, not a barrier.
Man, that's so good.
Yeah, and you know what? My interactions with him, I feel like just in conversations I've had with him, seeing how he interacts with his teachers, I think this is something that he really works hard at trying to do.
I would put him in the visionary leader category.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. Question 4. Why is it important to be aware of your personal vision?
I went with Natasha Jefferson here. She is at @Jefferson_1. I just liked it. It was simple. It was sweet. She did not need 240 characters.
No, she didn't.
She said, "So I'm not wandering lost or easily led astray." I was like, hello, me too. Tell me what you need or I am going to be gone.
That's a good one. I think in some regards, if you don't have some sort of vision, there's no telling where you're going to wind up. And I think that can be trouble.
Of course it can.
But even if you have a vision and you're trying to follow it and you wind up in some place that you didn't expect, you can always readjust that vision. Right?
Yeah. No, you know, I mean, you know what I mean? You have to. Expectations change.
Right.
Things happen throughout the year that, you know, keep you from certain steps in that goal. I mean, just even thinking of having my students be successful. If I have a house fire, there are going to be some things that are outside of my control to hopefully not come too much in between me and my students. You know, if there's a death in our classroom, there are things that come up,
right,
that keep you from your goal. Anyway, yeah.
So I went with Shanna Mellett. I can't ever. I'm so sorry, mm-hmm. Shanna. Let's just say it's a nice mellow. You know, like
that's what I want to say.
We're kidding. We're having wine. she said, when I first started teaching 27 years ago, I copied what other teachers did. After playing the game of copy and paste, I decided it was time to design my own path to follow, one that would be built around my students and what they need. It's not about a test. It's about them.
It is not about a test. It is about them. Yeah. I love that. I was a copy and paster for my first few years, too. I mean, we're not taught curriculum design. We're not taught to go our own way immediately. Sometimes you have to take what other people are doing and then switch it up to make it yours. I love the way she said it, though. It was great.
Yeah, I think copy and paste is good. Like, you have to have some experiences to start with. And as that first year teacher, we just don't have them yet.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, it's pretty good.
Well, question 5, what is the most important way to ensure your vision is reflected in your daily practice? You got to think about it, right?
Yeah, but that gets hard too because there's so many things clawing at you during your day that it can be hard to keep your vision there.
Well, I think what Wes Fryer said here, and he is at W. Fryer, he said, find ways to remind yourself daily about the personal vision. Write it down, post it, integrate it into your Twitter profile, reflect on it with trusted colleagues periodically, ask for honest feedback, and make appropriate adjustments. Listen to others and pray about it. I mean, sometimes just writing it down. I love the idea of putting it in your Twitter profile. I mean, mm-hmm. if you are... put it where you are most. If it's your email, make it, you know, an email that stays unread, you know, that it just gives you that constant reminder. Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Is right. everything to lead towards this goal?
Right. I went with Amber McNath here. She is at Mrs. McReading. She said, tattoo it on your forehead. When things aren't going well and you're tempted to blame others, look in the mirror. Psst, it might not be them.
So great. Yeah, and I love that she, you know, sees and acknowledges that. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, we could have the best vision ever, but all of a sudden we're swimming upstream in a whirlpool and maybe we shouldn't be, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and it might not be somebody else's yeah. fault.
This year, the kids just get to pick every single thing. Ready, go. That's the and maybe it backfires. I mean, I don't know. Question 6, how do you stay true to and focused on your vision in the midst of all the day-to-day tasks?
Ooh.
There's a lot of day-to-day.
There is a lot of day-to-day, and sometimes our day-to-day shifts. You know, somebody can come in and what you thought you had set up, you know, hyper-scheduled out your day, it may shift and change to something else. I liked what Mark Moran said here. He is Mark E. Moran on the Twitters. He says, lots of answers included accountability partners. I always had one as a corporate lawyer, often a young direct report, empowered to keep me on track. He said, lots of, no, it can wait until tomorrow. You said tomorrow yesterday, and now it's today. So just having that person who knows, you know, what you're supposed to be working mm-hmm. on and keeps you true to it would definitely help.
Yeah, I think anytime you can get somebody that can give you another set of eyes on what you're doing, or help you to kind of keep your focus where it needs to be. Because what? Like if I know you're going to hold me accountable to it, Aaron, and I know you're going to hold my feet to the fire, and you're going to play the disappointment, I am disappointed in you. Aww. Then I am liable to really be careful with how I follow things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. And not all of us can hire a personal assistant, obviously. But Scott, do you have a smartphone?
Yeah, I've got one. Yes.
Is it what's the device brand?
It's one of them Apple iPhones. You know, I got the iPhone and and I put my finger on the thing and it tells me stuff.
Oh my word! So you have Siri. People with Microsoft products have a Cortana. Amazon products have an Alexa. You know, that can be a personal assistant-ish if you work for it. I mean, have those devices set reminders for you so that you can constantly, hey Siri, set a reminder to reflect on personal narrative tomorrow at 2:00.
Right.
Hey Cortana, will you remind me to put together my shopping list? Hey Cortana, you know.
Yeah, Alexa, order yoga.
Yeah. Alexa, can you order a pizza from Simple Simons? Yeah. I'm just saying, use those tools that we all have in our back pocket. I didn't start doing that until this year, or maybe last year. It helped tremendously. I've got alarms for all kinds of things.
Cool.
Yeah.
I went with Seth Meyer here. He is at Seth Meyer. He said, surround yourself with honest people that will call you out when you aren't being authentic. This is where culture helps to prevail the vision, regardless of the day-to-day. Yeah. So both of these guys kind of said very similar things.
Yes. Question 7. In an environment where what gets measured is what gets done, how do you ensure that your vision is getting done?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Man, these guys had great questions. This OU education group is pretty darn amazeballs.
It's like they're thinking on stuff.
I went with a Mr. Hartford tweet here, and he is at Hartford Jimmy on the Twitters. He said, I'm going to think hard about it over break. I want my students curious about the world. They care about the grade because that's what's measured. I want to find a way to measure and grade their curiosity. I love that he didn't have an answer. I love that he was going to be thinking about this. And I also love that he wants to measure and grade their curiosity. That's awesome.
And he put grade in quotes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. He wasn't trying to, you know, put a D on, you know, some kid's thoughts.
Right.
But I like that there wasn't a specific answer. I like the direction that he wants to go there.
Always thinking. I went with Lindsay McDonald here. She is at @Mac_SRA. I'm thinking Senora. She said, I think sometimes the things that matter most aren't measurable.
Like,
I mean, like coming back to Jimmy's tweet, like how do you measure curiosity? How do you measure creativity? How do you measure a student who just grabs hold of something and won't let go till it's perfect?
Right.
Like you can't measure that junk.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of, we just have gotten so wrapped up in being told we have to measure stuff. And yes, you got to measure some things. I totally get that. But at the same time, education can happen without having to measure things.
Exactly. So hold on. Yes. You may not come in. What's up?
She's talking funny. We're almost done if she can manage 5 minutes, probably.
Can you manage 5 minutes? Thank you. Her tooth is about to come out.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
You gotta have teeth coming out.
That's gonna make it into the loop for real.
Probably. So, question 8. What visionary leader do you most admire and why?
Too many.
Yeah, there was a whole lot here. I'll tell you one thing that that I really latched onto. I had the good fortune to work with some coaches in Kansas City that John McFall and Will Stoskope, and they were able to alter my thinking regarding coaching with kids from one of win-win-win-win-win to one of be in a position to succeed. And so basically, instead of like, we're going to go out and we're going to win this game, it became, we're going to be in a position all through the game, no matter what happens, you're going to put yourself in a position to win. Because if you think about real life, you won't always get the job. You won't always do the thing you want to do. You won't always have whatever. But if you don't do certain things, you'll never be in a position to reach those bigger rewards. Do you see what I'm saying?
So
if I want to be a building administrator, then I need to put myself in a position to do that. What do I need to do? I need to get my master's degree in education. I need to look at how other administrators are doing things, so I learn things I want to do and don't want to do. And then I need to apply for a job as an administrator. And all along the way, I may or may not find those right guys. But if I don't do the sum of those parts, then I'll never have the opportunity to be an administrator.
So true. That's great advice.
Yeah. So I just thought, and that changed my whole, and you know what? Guess what? We won a crap ton of soccer matches and basketball games doing that.
That's great advice.
Yeah. So, and it also helps, like, you know, I've gone for some positions where I've been very disappointed I didn't get it, but I was in a position to get that. I was in a position to get that interview.
Right.
I mean, so it changes your frame of reference too. I don't know. I just thought it was really powerful. And a lot of that comes out of John Wooden's Pyramid of Success, which is amazing.
All right. Well, I went with a Christy Cooper tweet here. Mm-hmm. She said so many to name, but this came to mind with this question. If you have time, please watch. And if you click on the show notes, you'll see the TEDx talk that she's linked in here. And it's about leadership. It's only a 6-minute watch. So if you've got the time, do it. But one of the questions he asks to the audience is, how many of you would consider yourselves a leader? And he said there were several hands that went up, but majority of the hands did not go up. Mm-hmm. And he says, yeah, that's got to change. We are all leaders in some way, shape, or form. And if you want to be a leader, then find out that some way, shape, or form, mm-hmm. and start, you know, pushing it. So
somebody's looking up to you.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter if you're teacher, administrator, whatever. Somebody thinks what you do is gold.
Exactly.
So you're leading whether you want to or not. Sorry, I keep interrupting.
As teachers, we have very impressionable minds looking up at us, mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. So be that person.
Right. I went with Adam Rogers here. He is at Mr. Rogers Tech. He said, I can't narrow it down to any single leader. The instructors from the @snu_MAEL, the members of EdCamp Oklahoma City, the educators on Okla Ed. So he's casting a wide net there. I like that.
Very wide. Yeah. You're a member of two of those groups, aren't you?
I'm an Okla Ed member.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. I'm a member of two of those groups.
Yeah, oh, how exciting for you.
Well, Boom Sauce.
Boom Sauce.
We both have a Boom Sauce this time.
Yes, we do.
And I think it has to do with the topic. I think there were some great tweets out there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I went with Mr. Rob Miller.
The Edge Blogger.
And he had a great blog post put out earlier this week about reading and being proficient. Mm-hmm. And so you might give that a check. But he said for that A7 where we were talking about, you know, when we're, you know, what gets measured is what gets done. Mm-hmm. His tweet was, know your non-negotiables and ensure that they are communicated and enforced throughout your school and district. Then be visible. You cannot promote an effective vision from your office.
That's a true story.
I loved it.
True story. I went with Derek Jackson here. He is at CPS V-Ball Coach, and he said, Pastor Craig from lifechurch.tv is an amazing leader. His podcasts aim to help develop great new leaders. And I picked him as my boom sauce because Pastor Craig is my pastor. And I think what he does is really good stuff. Like he really genuinely wants to build up leaders in all aspects of life. Not just youth, not just here, but like leadership everywhere. And I think that's, and he does stuff specifically for leadership all the time. I think it's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so there you go.
So next week. There's no next week for Okla Ed. And what are we going to do for that?
So what we're going to do, and you'll just have to tune in and see, but we have picked our two most popular episodes, and we're going to re-release them.
And so you can listen to them again,
yes.
Obviously. If you aren't caught up on the rest of the episodes, though, maybe you should take some time to catch up as well.
Yeah, you got a couple weeks to catch up. And you know what? You can always listen to us on your podcast app. You can speed us up a little bit to cut down the time that the podcast takes.
Just not too fast. I don't want to be a chipmunk.
Not too fast, you want to be a chipmunk. But we are going to re-release these. They'll show up in your feed just like it's a new podcast, and it'll have a unique episode title. So, for example, this is episode 45. So it'll be something like episode 22.1 or episode 34.1 or something like that. So it'll have a decimal and a .1 to identify it as a separate episode. So if you want to go back and listen to the original, you can do that. But I'm not re-editing anything.
Okay. What were the most popular Okla Said podcasts of all time?
Do we want to share that now, or do we want it to be a surprise?
Oh, secret. Oh, okay, I like it. Let's do it.
If we don't tell you, you'll tune in to see.
Ooh. Oh. All right.
We can't all write yet because we have to wish everybody a happy new year. And happy holidays, whatever holiday just you're celebrating. We're celebrating Merry Christmas at our house, and I hope you are going to enjoy a Merry whatever at your house, Aaron. You're a Merry Christmas person, correct?
I'm a Merry Christmas person.
Very good. And Happy Hanukkah, and Happy Kwanzaa, and whatever the holiday is that you celebrate at this time of year. Celebrate it safely and enjoy it. How about that?
All right.
All right.
All right.
Blah, 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 blah. Two, three.
All right, educators.
You know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
Not even hello. Just, hey, how's my set? Do I sound okay?
There's no room for small talk when you're trying to change the world.
Yay, adulting.
Thank you.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.